The crisis in Sudan's Darfur region has forced more than 1 million people from their homes, and the displacement is particularly hard on the mentally ill. In refugee camps in Chad, people with severe mental problems are kept shackled and chained to bushes. Some of them may have been troubled before the war, but relatives of others say it was the atrocities they witnessed in Darfur that made their illnesses worse. NPR's Jason Beaubien sent us this report.
In the Tulum refugee camp in eastern Chad, Isak Hassan is known as the devil. He lives under a tarp and is completely unintelligible. Hassan's wrists and ankles are bound together with a lightweight metal chain. The chain's padlocked around the base of a scraggly shoulder-high bush, which also holds up his tarp. His brother, Abdrahaman Hassan, says Isak, who's whistling in the background, wasn't always like this. In Sudan, he had animals and some money. After the Arab militias and the Sudanese airplanes attacked his village, Abdrahaman says his brother had a mental breakdown. Arab militias known as Janjaweed, backed by the Sudanese government, have been accused of carrying out a policy of ethnic cleansing against black villagers in Darfur. Human rights groups say they rape women, often in public, kill civilians, and burn down entire villages. Abdrahaman says he keeps his older brother Isak chained up so that he doesn't run off or bother other people in the surrounding tents. Scattered throughout the refugee camp, there are other people chained to bushes. Some of them appear to have been born with Down syndrome, and some may have been mentally ill before the war. But family members of many of them say they were pushed over the edge by what they witnessed in Sudan. A young woman named Halim is chained to a tent pole next to her 9-month-old baby. She searches repeatedly through a plastic bag of yarn and buttons for some elusive object. Her mother, Hadam Ala Mohammed Hamis, says Halim watched the Janjaweed kill her uncle in Darfur. She says the Janjaweed and the Sudanese army killed 47 people in their village that day. She says her daughter has never been the same since. Hans Roloff, a psychiatrist who works with traumatized refugees who fled to the Netherlands, says about 20% of people who experience trauma in a war zone develop some form of psychological problem. But he says an extremely brutal ethnic conflict like the one in Darfur can cause even higher rates of mental illness.
So if you have had very severe circumstances like murder on family members or murder on children, rape, that could affect even the strongest person.
Roloff adds that people who were already mentally ill often deteriorate when they're forced from their homes into refugee camps. In the Tulum camp in Chad, there's a medical clinic, but it primarily treats malnourished children. The closest hospital is a half hour's drive away. The chief nurse at the hospital says they're not in a position to deal with psychological problems. Her wards are filled with landmine victims, war wounded, complicated pregnancies, and starving children. The best they can do for a person who's become psychotic, she says, is offer sedatives. Joelle Eccles, a Belgian nurse at the hospital, says it's clear that many of the refugee families are deeply traumatized. In her intensive care unit, which is just a white nylon tent with blankets on the floor, Eccles has one child who weighs only 18 pounds and cries almost constantly.
The mother says 3 years, but when you look at him, it's not possible to be 3 years. He's minimum 5. Minimum.
The boy has numerous problems, including being severely malnourished. His arms and legs have shriveled so much that his head seems disproportionately large. His skin has become brittle and it's cracked into open sores around his mouth.
It's very painful.
Eccles says the boy seems mentally disturbed in a way that the other severely malnourished children are not. For instance, he repeatedly asks for soap and water to wash his hands.
This must be, of course, psychological, because I've never seen it. It's pretty hard to have hygiene, basic hygiene. So a child asking for washing hands with soap, it's amazing.
With the boy crying inconsolably beside her, Eccles says he's desperate for his mother's attention. But the woman has several other children and is often indifferent towards him.
And I suppose she thinks that this one is lost already. So if, for instance, this child doesn't go well, she tries to close the eyes and to close the nose to say he's already dead.
The boy has an older brother who sometimes spends the day with him. Eccles says this sibling, who's 8 or 9 years old, also seems to be haunted by the horrors they fled in Darfur.
And he stays all day without saying nothing, without moving, not acting as a child. For my thinking, they've been shocked by something. The father might be dead in front of them or something like that, or the whole village, I don't know. I really don't know, because we try to know, but they don't say nothing.
Dr. Roloff in Holland says this is a fairly common reaction among children who've been traumatized by war. They withdraw. As Roloff says, they disassociate. According to two new reports by human rights groups, the atrocities that have driven more than 1 million Darfur refugees from their homes are continuing. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.